me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Welcome, everybody, to this wonderful Monday in May. I don't even remember what day it is, but Monday in May, in any case, it's the 20th. And it is absolutely gorgeous here in Arizona. I hope it's wonderful where you are as well. We've got quite a wind going on here, but, you know, that's part of life when you're living in windy territory. My name's Jan Revelle, and this is Purpose Talk Radio. I want to remind you that the theme song of our show is called I Am Who I Am, and it's by the group True Trinity. You can contact them at truetrinity.com, where you can find this song and also the song Be the Difference, and they've got a couple more in the pipeline that move on. So you can download songs. They're only a dollar a piece. Where else can you get a song for a dollar? I think it's pretty wonderful. So go over there to truetrinity.com and check them out. And, my New England accent's coming out, isn't it? Check them out. There we go. And you can find out more about them there. Remember that you can join us on Facebook in the Conversations group. It's go to Facebook and do a search for Purpose Talk Radio Conversations and request to join the group. And Cindy will get you into the group. You can also find us on PurposeTalkRadio.com. And if you would like, there's a donate button. You can donate something towards the ongoing costs of the show. And you can also sponsor a show if you would like. You can become a sponsor for 1 month or 3 months or 6 months, whatever you'd like. And you would get your information at the beginning and the ending of each show. And also on our website, on our Facebook page, and mentioned in the Facebook group each week. So you get a lot of coverage for very little money. Contact me at jan@purposetalkradio.com and you can find out more, or go to purposetalkradio.com and click on the sponsor link. We have a special guest today, Reverend Stephen B. Henry, PhD. We're going to be talking about spirituality and marketing. Can they go together? It's really a question there, isn't it, to find out about that. Before we get on any further, I want to let you know that on June 4th, I'm doing a teleconference. As you know, I'm a medical advocate, and I'm doing a teleconference on medical advocacy along with Joe Montedonico, who is an attorney, and Greg Johnson, who is an insurance person. And we're going to talk about what it takes to become a medical advocate, how somebody can become a medical advocate, what purpose is of medical advocacy, why it's important in today's world, and it really is important in today's world. If you've had any contact with the medical world, you know that having an advocate on your side is incredibly important. So be sure to join us on June 4th for that, and I'll send out more information. I'll be announcing it again on next week's show. So that's that for now, and I want to go on to the card, today's card. The card is called Summer Moon. And this card shows a young woman who is in a field of fireweed on one side of her. And then there's these other tall, I don't know what they are, flowers, because they're past their prime. They're going to seed. They look like they might be, I was going to say roses, but the buds look like flowers don't. So anyway, they're past their prime, and behind her and behind these flowers is a moon, a huge moon, a summer moon. She has a rose-colored cape over her shoulders, and that has a lot of trim on it. It's really quite a beautiful trim. I'm looking under the light here to be sure. It's got blue symbols on it. One of the symbols that is not on the robe itself, or maybe it's just the way she's holding it, I think actually she's holding a scepter in her hand. There's quite a fancy handle. It's either of a knife or a scepter. She's looking out at the flowers, and she's kind of an introspective look. She's not looking inside. She's kind of staring. You know how you look at something and you don't really see it, but you just keep on looking? That's what she looks like. And she's in this, again, she's outside the fireweed on one side, and this other flower that is past its prime is on the other side. The interesting thing is the fireweed is on her left side, and the left side of the body, you know, I do body interpretation, and the left side of the body is the intuitive, emotional, creative side. And the right side of the body, where these dying weeds are, or other flowers that are past their prime, is the side of the rational, logical side, the side of responsibility, obligation, and duty. So the intuitive side is still alive, is still blossoming. There are buds that still haven't blossomed, and there are blossoms that are full, and there are seed pods on that flower all along the way. The other flower, on the other hand, is completely past its prime. There's no flower, no petals left. There's some seed pods. There's no buds. There's just kind of curled up, dying leaves. We are in the summer, the full summer of the season of, or of the time of our planet and the time in our lives of having responsibility, obligation, and duty. We'll still have that, but logical and rational is not as prime. That we're beyond that. We're coming out of the season of reason, the rational season, and we're coming more into the intuitive region. That is the one that is still quite alive. There are seed pods that are going to put out new seeds. There's still blossoms that are fully in blossom, and there are buds that haven't blossomed yet. So this young woman is standing in between the two. That's like all of us. Our world is standing in between the two. The representation here is male and the female paradigm. And I don't mean that in sexist terms. What I mean is that the masculine paradigm that we've lived in for so long, that everything has to be rational, that it has to make sense in the world. It has to be scientific. There can't be any intuition involved. And the feminine side, which has a little bit, from what we've learned, gone overboard towards the intuitive and towards the rational side. Towards the intuitive and the emotional side. So we need to make sure that we are paying attention to our intuition, to our emotions, and to our creativity. And that means whether you're a male or female, you need to be paying attention to your intuition, to your emotions, and to your creativity. This is the time when we can create amazing things by using our intuition, by acknowledging our emotions. That's one of the things that we're going to be talking about today in the show, spirituality and marketing, how the two can go together. For so many years, marketing has been, you have to be rational, you have to be aggressive, you have to be very much in line with that masculine paradigm. And things have been moving over the past few years and are now really coming into full bore of being more in the feminine, softer, more authentic, with integrity, and using your intuition to be able to move forward. So that's the card for today's show. I want to remind you that I also have drawn three cards. If you're interested, I have three cards that I've drawn. If you would like to have a reading following the interview, we'll be glad to do that. All you have to do is call in. The number is 347-205-9074. I'll repeat that. 347-205-9074. So call in when you get a chance, and we can do a reading following the interview. And if you have questions for Steve or for myself, be sure and call in during the show, and we will bring you live on that. Now, I'm not sure if I have forgotten anything else. So, until Cindy lets me know, because she keeps me on track here, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring Steve into the show. Good morning, Steve, or good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm very good, Jan. How are you?
I'm great, because we've got sunshine, and sunshine always makes a person feel good, don't you think?
Well, we've got the same wind in Kansas, I guess, that you have there, but we don't have the sunshine. We're clouded over.
It's a good thing you're not going to get blown away, right?
That's for sure.
Okay, good.
No Emerald City today.
Well, we're going to need you to speak up just a little bit louder, Steve, so everybody can hear you clearly, okay?
Okay, I'll give that a try.
That sounds really good. All right, and we want to talk today about spiritual marketing. Now, you've been in marketing for a long time, and you've been doing internet stuff for a long time. So what I'd like to do is ask you if you would tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into what you're doing, and then we'll move on from there, and how you discovered this as a passion.
Okay. Well, certainly. And first, Jan, I'd really like to thank you sincerely for the kind invitation to be here today. I don't do a lot of these things, and in fact, though several people have asked me, yours is the first show I've done in the last
Woo-hoo!
Few years. Yeah.
All right.
So I've listened to your show a few times, and we've talked on other issues, and I just felt comfortable coming here today. So thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm glad that you get to talk with us. Okay, so let's talk about you now.
Well, I've been around a bit, as you said, and I want to start off, if I can, with a little story that I like, and I want to share it because I think it underscores something that, as I'm telling you a bit about myself and as we all put that creative side into perspective and maybe a little retrospective on ourselves, it might help. And this occurred one time a while ago. I was having coffee in a small diner, and this young man came running in. He was maybe 18 or 19 years of age, and he went directly to the payphone. Now, that probably dates me a little because it was before cell phones. And he dialed a number and asked for the personnel department. After a moment, he said, "Hi, I want to apply for the office boy job." And then he paused to listen for a reply. And he was obviously disappointed because he said, "Well, okay, maybe the job is coming available sometime soon. Could you keep my information on file just in case?" And there was another pause, and then he said, "Well, thanks anyway, bye," and he hung up the phone. Well, I felt compelled to say something because he looked pretty down, and I the only thing I could think of was to say, "I overheard your call there, and I'm really sorry you didn't get the job." And he looked up at me kind of surprised with a big smile on his face, and he said, "Oh, it's all right, mister. I've already got the job. I was just checking to be sure everything was all right." Now, it's a silly, funny little story. I know that. But it really does underscore the fact that sometimes we all need to check just to see how things are doing. When you get to my age, I think sometimes it's a matter of feeling for a pulse, but we still have to check.
Right.
And I've been around, for quite a while, as you said. I've just recently, just before I turned 60, I started changing my career path and moving in a slightly different direction. So, you can always find a new direction, a new focus, and move forward. I started in business actually when I was quite young. I had a paper route before I was a teenager. Oh, when I was about 14, I ran my own greenhouse growing vegetables and selling them to neighbors. In high school, I drove hundreds of miles on weekends to sell at antique shows. And I guess I really don't remember any length of time throughout my whole life where I haven't been involved in one form of business or another. Doing business, especially when it is helping others, is something I love and something I've always done. I guess you could say it's in my blood. I've also worked for others as well, for small contractors and for big multinational corporations. I've traveled widely, and in some years I've actually driven over 100,000 miles, and that's a lot of time sitting in the car.
My
resume is a mess. It looks like a dog's breakfast. My life hasn't been based on following a single career path, and that's actually turned out very good for me. I've done a lot of different things, from antique sales, as I mentioned, to running antique shows myself. From bookselling to running my own private investigation agency. From installing security alarm systems to corporate security. I've built businesses, and I've sold businesses, and I've done a lot of things in between. I've failed miserably in more businesses than most people will likely ever think of running. And I've succeeded wonderfully in a few as well. I've done okay, and life doesn't owe me a dime. I've been in the Internet, well, since before it was public, back in the days of ARPANET and NSFNET. Most people won't remember those. I never did meet Al Green there, though, or I'm sorry, Al Gore. you know, he was supposed to be around at that time, so I don't know. I've built a very successful multi-line bulletin board system known as a BBS and taught modem application and online access before there was Internet access. I've owned and operated Internet service provider companies bringing early Internet access to small communities and rural areas. Today, my wife Laura and I live in a small town here in South Central Kansas, and we operate our business from an office and a converted bedroom in our modest home. We endeavor to practice a sustainable lifestyle. I am an author, a website developer, a small business consultant, a coach, and sometimes mentor, and I provide a range of support services to those who do business online. I guess that's my background.
That's a pretty extensive background.
Well, I kept busy. It's fun and enjoyable.
So tell us a little bit, before we get really into this, tell us a little bit about your sustainable lifestyle.
Well, starting with, those Curlicue fluorescent bulbs, we decided we wanted to reduce our carbon footprint and to reduce the cost of our electrical bill, and we understood that those ran cheaper and ran cooler and were better for the environment, so we started there. We are in an area that has really poor electrical service reliability, and big thunderstorms can turn off the power, and fluctuations in the power here can burn out light bulbs. We were buying regular light bulbs every week at the grocery store, and I said, this is crazy. It's got to stop. So we looked into that, and we started with that. My wife and I were both diagnosed with diabetes and type 2 diabetes, and we needed to change our diet, so we started looking at fresh foods, things that we cook ourselves instead of taking, prepared out of a package. And we went from a big car to a small car. And, in fact, we drive so little, I doubt we put 2 full tanks of gas in the car in a year.
In a year?
In a year. That's right.
Wow.
We organize our trips out. We go short distances. We make choices that... that work. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, not everybody's going to have the capability to do exactly what we're doing, but every little step that anybody can make is a help. And the cost of the fluorescent bulbs has come way down now, and when you look at the return on investment, you're crazy not to use them. The new LED bulbs are even better, and their color is a purer white. If you don't like the yellow cast of the fluorescent bulbs, then the pure white of the LEDs is quite striking. They're still a little more expensive, but for all intents and purposes, they last forever. So and they draw so much less current. So they're paid for many times over in the savings on your electrical bill. Let alone the savings to the planet. So those are just some of the little things, but it all comes together to add up to something that's more sustainable.
Now, how have you brought that philosophy over into your professional life? Because I know you have.
Well, we looked at it, and I've been in business all my life, as I said. And I've worked for some pretty big corporations, some good corporations, and some places I'm not too proud of. And I learned a lot along the way. I find that today there are more and more people turning to self-employment, working from home. They're becoming coaches, experts, marketers, running all kinds of businesses from their home. And they are faced with vital ethical and moral marketing choices. And in my opinion, any of those may be critical to the sustained welfare of our entire culture and ecosystem. That's a pretty broad statement, but I really truly believe it. On one hand, the rampant consumerism, I think we could say non-sustainable materialism, which seems to be our collective current choice, is leading to the ultimate termination of the society as we know it. Now, there are choices. And, you know, there's that ever proverbial on the other hand, which in this case offers an alternative, a wise honoring of the earth, the climate, and each other, individual people, resulting in a sustainable global solution for, well, for generations to come. I think that's the choice that we have to take, and it's the examination of that concept that led me over a period of years. I mean, it didn't happen as a eureka moment. It wasn't a light turning on. It came over a number of years. I chased the big bucks, the big cars, the big houses, you know, the big success, and I realized that it wasn't really what it appeared to be. I had the big house. I've had the big cars. I've you know, called up my travel agent and booked a flight without ever asking price. You know, I had a moment's notice, not being able to take advantage of early bookings. I mean, it didn't matter to me at the time. And that's nice. That's got some benefits to it. But it isn't nice on a sustainable global sense. And it took me a while to realize that. But as I did, I realized that there were things that I could do. I could still work my business. I could still provide ideas and solutions for other people. And I could do it from the comfort of my home in a converted bedroom office and love it. So
well,
here I am.
Wait a minute. One of the things you talked about was having the big car and the big house and being able to book a flight without asking price and at a moment's notice. To do that and still be authentic and still be able to live a sustainable lifestyle. Yes, you can work out of the bedroom, converted bedroom. A lot of people do that, I know, have created offices in their homes. But being authentic and living with a sense of integrity, can you still, in other words, you have to be poor if you're going to be authentic?
No, not at all. And in fact, you can have a big house. You can run your business from a beach, you know, somewhere in the central Pacific islands. You can travel the world. You can do a variety of things, but you need to think in terms of how those things impact other people. And if you do the right things, run your business the right way, interact with people in a truly spiritual way, understand the individual needs of your clients, and deliver on that understanding, then you can build a sustainable business and enjoy lots of things in your life. There's nothing wrong with enjoyment. I chose a different path. I haven't, you know, discarded things that I like, and I don't fault those kind of things. Where I think there's a problem is when, in order to get those things, you climb over people. You disregard the relationships with your clients. You disregard the client's needs, and you focus only on profit. If you do that to get the success or the trappings of success or apparent trappings of success, then you lose something along the way, and perhaps that's your soul.
Okay. So let's dive into this topic of living a spiritual life and having a spiritually based business and marketing, and how they go together. So, you know, I mean, can I be a millionaire and still have a spiritually based business, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, and I'm not talking, okay, having a $1 million business and a spiritual business obviously can be compatible, and whether I stay spiritual or not is my own issues. So let's not bother going there. We're just going to go with between the business, how to make a spiritual business and be able to market it so that it is successful.
Right. Well, just so that there's no confusion for your listeners, although I have a title of Reverend, a spiritual business or a spiritual approach to business has nothing to do with religion, or it needn't have anything to do with religion. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to be focused on a certain doctrine in order to have a spiritually based business. The spiritual that we're talking about here is the inner spirit, the self, and the harmonization of that with the world around you. Harmonizing your business practices with the idea of being honest, ethical, and benefiting your client, while still, of course, making a profit. To put a mild religious twist on it, people often misquote the old axiom saying money is the root of all evil. Well, that is a decided misquote that twists the meaning of what was said. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil, greed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of it, spending a lot of it. In fact, that's good for the economy. So if you want to make $1 million, you want to spend $1 million, go for it. And as soon as you're done spending it, make your second million. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the application of how you do that. And spiritual marketing, which was really a phrase coined by Joe Vitale in about 2000, 2001, I think, his book was published. And it was an idea he'd been working on for some time. He actually wrote the first draft of that book to give away privately in 1999 when I first heard of it. And I was already on a track to that from something else that I had run across. But he I think, coined the phrase and focused it on the term. And, became part of our lexicon, and we started using it in the marketing field for those of us who were looking for that type of process. But the thoughts and the underpinnings of this have been around since business has been conducted, and perhaps more formalized since about the 1700s. The New Thought movement brought that into perspective. But actually, there's some books, and if I can interject into my line of thought here for just a moment for the listeners, I'm going to mention some books by title. You may want to write them down and look them up. They're great reference works, and I think everybody should really read them if they're interested in this subject, or at least one or two of them. But if you don't have a pen handy and you're not quick enough to write them down, I'm going to provide a web page where I'll list all the books that I mentioned here and other resources on the topic. Is it okay to give out my email address, Jim?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, then my address is thewiz@ourhutch.com. That's thewiz@ourhutch.com. And anybody who wants the instructions on how to get to the web page, just email me, and I'll also throw in a free copy of my e-book. It's a small e-book, but it's packed with good information, I think. It's called The Wiz's 10 Steps to Staying Focused on Your Objectives. It's a plan that's worked for me. It's actually the culmination of all the things that I sort of put together in the spiritual marketing concept that keeps me on track and works well. Other people have commented highly on it, so hopefully it would work for anyone listening as well. But a couple of books that I would mention right off would be one called Thought Vibration by William Walker Atkinson. Now, that goes back to 1906, and yet it's relevant today in this change that you mentioned earlier about the change from the masculine to the feminine. And you're so right. And it's taken us all that time since 1906 to put a lot of these things into play and really understand them. The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. Many people won't know that name because that's from 1919, but they're familiar with a documentary film called The Secret from 2006. And that movie was based on, that documentary was based on The Science of Getting Rich.
And what was his name again?
Wallace Wattles, W-A-T-T-L-E-S. And that's the basis of the law of attraction, which you've certainly heard of.
Oh, yeah.
And really, the law of attraction is what spiritual marketing is all about. You understand the law of attraction. When you put it into practice, you have to be involved in spiritual marketing. It's just the way it works. Bob Proctor and Jack Canfield are two contemporaries that espouse that particular theory and have covered it fairly well. But I think the quintessential book in this field is Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. And everybody's heard about that. It's actually one of the best-selling books of all time. It's still on number one bestseller list today. So it's it was originally printed in 1937. But there's a phrase in there that caught my attention. It was brought to my attention actually by a mentor, a fellow who I respected, who was very, very successful, and he shared a great deal of good information with me. And he pointed out a line from that book that says, "What the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve."
And I like that. Repeat it again.
What the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. Now, it's a little play on rhyming words there, but it works. And if you keep that in mind, that really is the truism that brings into play all of the aspects of social, the whole interaction of people involved in spiritual marketing. Contemporary writers, there's a few of them. I read books voraciously, and I run across them. The Road to Wealth by Robert G. Allen from 1989 is a good place to start. There's one I haven't read that I actually came across just the other day, and it's on my list to grab when I can and have a look at. It's called The Science of Spiritual Marketing. It's by Andrea Alder. It was published in 2007. She is a practitioner in the field and a coach and trainer in the process of spiritual marketing, and she has, you know, put her own understandings into practice and written a book about it, and it looks extremely interesting. And the Master Key System by Charles Hanel is an old standard. It was, it was brought out originally in 2007, but it was updated actually early this year, so it's worth having a look at as well. But I'll post all of those on a web page, and anybody who emails me, I'll send along the URL and a copy of my book.
Okay, now are you part of our Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group, Steve?
I don't know.
If not,
is that
okay.
On Facebook?
Is that it is on Facebook? Facebook?
Yes, I am.
It is?
Yes.
Okay, then maybe you could post it there as well for our listeners.
Okay, I'll do that.
Awesome. That would be great. Okay, so tell us a little bit more about marketing for those who have a spiritual-based business. What would be some, do you have any examples, or can you give us some ideas about how do you go about marketing when you being authentic and in a place from integrity?
Well, let's look at some underlying philosophies and maybe sciences that come into play there. When you say a spiritual-based business, first of all, I don't want it to be thought that you have to be a spiritualist, a card reader, a mind reader, a coach, or something that's, you know, you're sitting in front of a crystal ball and sharing your visions and so on with people. A spiritually based business can sell motorcycles. A spiritually based business can provide education into a foreign language, you know, training. It's the nature of a spiritual based business has spiritual marketing has nothing to do with selling or offering or being involved with, you know, spirituality products, and that's a surprise to some people. It amazes me how many people, you know, feel that the two must be connected in some way. The fact is, we're all spiritual beings, and we are governed by laws of the universe, and whether those laws of the universe are, you know, physical or whether they're quantum mechanics or whatever they, you know, you may look at, we have to understand that there are things that apply and that happen and give us results. And if we go against those, things don't work the way they should. And we have to understand that thought itself, the act of thinking, is a force of nature. It is a power to be reckoned with. And it's like gravity. I always say to people, you don't have to believe in gravity for it to be real. It isn't about a belief system. You do not have to believe in gravity. But if you don't, I still don't recommend that you step off of a high building. Gravity works regardless of what you believe. That's the nature of the universe. And some people let their beliefs get in the way of what's real. Oftentimes, because I've been involved in science, you know, and studied certain aspects of science, I get drawn into discussions and sometimes debates, and occasionally they blend into arguments, on the whole area of science versus religion. And I don't think there's any verses in there at all. I think that religion is totally compatible with science. Science is simply the study of God's laws, God's universal laws. And if you study those, you're a scientist. And if you have faith, you know, you're a believer. There's no separation between the two. You can have both. You can have one without the other. That's okay. But you, if you really want the whole picture, you need both. And it's kind of interesting. When I was being prospected for a certain multi-level program at one time, the fellow who was prospecting me was on a vacation trip because of his earnings in that particular business. It was a good business, and I actually got involved, and it made me some money over some time. There are some good MLM structures out there. But in this particular case, he was prospecting me, and I didn't see what he was telling me. It just didn't come together properly. From a very nice tropical island, he sent me a postcard with about a third of the corner torn off. And on the back of it, he wrote, "You still don't get the whole picture." And it made me stop and think. And you know, sometimes it's those sort of kitschy little phrases that that catch your attention.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't, you don't always have to see the whole thing to know that it was a vacation island, a tropical, nice place to be. But the whole picture helps. And so, you know, using thought, understanding our thought processes, harnessing those, I've studied the subconscious for years, actually since my mid-teens I got very interested in it, and along with synchronicity, coincidences, I've studied that whole aspect of psychology, and when I first went to university, I enrolled in a psychology program thinking I'd find answers, and I discovered that the reason doctors say they run practices is because they don't actually do it yet. They're still practicing. They don't have the answers. And certainly back then, university psychology did not have the answers. Had a lot of questions, but not the answers. But anyway, I've studied the subconscious. And let me give you just a little bit of an example here that might help put things in focus. I think everybody listening today can think of one time in their life at least when this sort of thing happened. And it comes back to the old story of the monkey's paw and being careful for what you ask. It's a truism that applies in your everyday life. And so let's imagine this. Let's think that you're walking from the kitchen out to the backyard where you have some guests over for a barbecue, and you're carrying a tray with six glasses, you know, tall, nice, cold, chilled glasses filled with beverage, and a pitcher of that same beverage on this tray, and it's heavy and it's awkward, and you're carrying it, and you go to your back door and it's closed, you push your shoulder against the screen door to swing it open, and you go down two steps to get to the patio, and you're walking towards the picnic table to set the tray down, and you think to yourself, "I hope I don't trip." And no sooner do you think that than your foot twists out from under you a little bit, your knee goes off, and the tray almost goes flying, but you just catch it in time, and poof, you get it set down on the table, and everything's fine. Well, sometimes not everything is fine. Sometimes the tray does go flying. But you know what I mean, and I bet that you've experienced something like that.
Sure.
I hope I don't trip, and then right away you do. I hope this doesn't fall right away, you know, that sort of thing. Well, that's the power of the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind only handles positives. It only handles absolutes. It doesn't know black from white, right from wrong, you know, yes from no. Everything you feed it, it takes as reality, and it feeds back a solution into your system. And that solution may be a thought, an answer to a question, or it may be an action in your body causing you to trip. Because if you say, I hope I don't trip, if you think that in your mind, your subconscious hears hope to trip, the absolute of the phrase, hope to trip. And so it helps.
So we can't blame the universe for that. We have to just blame our own subconscious, well, right?
Almost always, our problems are truly our problems. They're of our own making. Now, look, when a tornado comes here in Kansas, that's not of my making, right?
Right.
But you know, we deal with weather. We do things. But even, you know, if you believe in the things like the butterfly effect and so on, we can say that the changing of the weather is the result of small things that we've done along the way that have built up until we get to the situations we're in now. And you have storms like Sandy. Instead of being once every 100 years or once every 500 years, they're coming now with some frequency and perhaps accelerating. And I don't care which way a person believes, whether they feel that, you know, it's just a cycle or it's man-made or it's going to go away or don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. It's been happening for a while and it's going to happen again, and you know, we deal with those things. But in our own lives, in the things that we have control of, you may have heard the phrase stinking thinking. If we focus on stinking thinking, if everything's a problem, everything's a nuisance, if we look at the negative all the time instead of the positive, if we keep seeing things as insults against us, as, you know, problems against us, and, you know, we're constantly building and manifesting systems in support of that negative thinking. If mm-hmm. you look at anybody's Facebook pages, their picture folders, or you go on Pinterest and look at the galleries of pictures there, people posting on Facebook groups, they often just post cute sayings. How many of those sayings are either directly negative or negative in the absolute? And that's an important thing to remember. First of all, there's a ton of them that are directly negative. So we keep feeding ourselves negatives. We do it all the time. And we think,
wait a minute. What do you mean? What do you mean directly negative versus negative in the absolute?
Well, try to think of an example. But we often put out phrases that are simply negative. Okay. For example, and this isn't something you're necessarily going to see on Facebook, but it'll show the juxtaposition of it. When you come down a street and you have to stop your vehicle because there's a red light up there on the pole, what do we call that thing?
Stoplight.
Right. But the red is there for a certain period of time, and then it's green. It's green almost as long as it's red. Why don't we call it a go light? It's cute, isn't it? But think about it.
Yeah.
We call it a stoplight because the stopping portion is what interferes with our life. So that's what we tend to focus on. We don't think about them. We don't tell people about them when we go through them when they're green. Oh, man, I got stuck in traffic. That stoplight seemed to be there forever, right? But very seldom do we say, you know what? I went all the way down Main Street, and I got green lights all the way. You know, we hardly ever reflect on the positive. We reflect on the negative. We do that all the time. So that's the absolute negative. When we look at something, red is a stoplight. It keeps us stopped. You know, we have to wait for it. Darn, that's a negative. It really is a negative. And so we focus. We even give it a name because of it being a negative. Happens in our life all the time, and that's just one example. I'll leave it up to you to make a list of 10 more. You can find them. Well, then that's the actual the way it is. Well, then in the absolute, when we have things that are cute, we put phrases out that are cute, but it's a play on words. Oftentimes, if you read them, and again, I didn't realize we were going to get into this, so I have one in mind. But you know, my example about the I hope I don't trip. I mean, that's something you would say is positive, right? I hope I don't trip. That's a positive statement. No, it's not. It's a negative statement because if, for the subconscious mind, because the subconscious mind doesn't know do or don't. It only knows trip.
Okay. So it would say, I hope I trip.
I hope I trip. And in fact, it doesn't even know hope because hope is a matter of degree. It only knows the absolute trip. So it
So when we're in business, if we say, I hope I don't fail, then our subconscious is hearing, I hope I fail.
Right, or just fail. And it will do everything it can to make you fail. But if you say, I hope I succeed, or I would like to get, you know, a profit on this particular transaction. Now,
right.
The other problem is that we kind of, you know, shuffle ourselves around a little bit by putting things in qualitative terms instead of saying absolutes. We can really help the subconscious mind work for us if we feed it absolutes. You're familiar with positive affirmations?
Yes.
You speak to yourself and say good things. Well, a lot of teachers of positive affirmations don't understand positive affirmations. A lot of people using positive affirmations have either been taught wrong or just haven't understood it properly. And so they'll look in the mirror and they'll say, I'm going to be the best public speaker that ever existed. Well, your subconscious mind will keep you from being the best speaker that ever existed. Why? Because you said,
I'm going to be.
Right. So it says, oh, you don't want to be right now. You want to be in the future. So I will do everything to keep you from being the best public speaker today. And then when tomorrow is today, to keep you from doing it today. And then the next day, to keep you from doing it today. And so you never become it. But when you say, I am the best public speaker that ever existed. And I know that sounds funny when you're not. And it's hard to say, and you can't convince yourself of it. But what you're really doing is you are convincing yourself of it. And then the subconscious mind will work towards making you the best public speaker that ever existed. Now, you have to help the subconscious mind along. This is the thing that I always object to. You know, people who say various cute phrases that end up sounding something like fake it till you make it.
Uh-huh.
You know, the play on words, fake it and make it and so on. But they're basically, you know, I hear them all the time. They're supposed to be positive, spiritual affirmations, and what they really are is excuses. And, you know, if you're not making it, just keep doing what you're doing and it'll eventually happen for you. It's not true. You have to listen to what your subconscious mind tells you. So when you say, to use my previous example, I am the best public speaker that ever existed, and you're flipping through a magazine, and there's a course being advertised on public speaking, you need to at least look into it. You know, if the course isn't right for you, don't take it. If it's too expensive, don't take it. But you need to at least look into it. If you are on Amazon looking to buy a frying pan, and while you're there, there's an ad in the sidebar for a book on public speaking, at least go and look at it and see if it's affordable, if it's of the kind of thing that's interesting to you. Like, do the things that are going to move you forward in public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But keep keying the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind will have you seeing those things. How often do you look at a page that's got advertising on it, and how often are you in a Facebook group that has advertising down the right-hand side, and you never pay attention to those ads?
Most of the time.
Right. You see them, your subconscious mind will key you on certain ones if you have been feeding the subconscious mind with requests to help you with certain things. When an ad pops up there, your peripheral vision will see it. Your subconscious mind takes in everything, and you will then see and respond to that ad. You'll look over there, and there it is. Now, it's your choice, your physical choice, not your subconscious choice, whether to click on it or not. And it's up to you to make those steps to do that. So it's not just looking at it from a, you know, mystical kind of situation. There are people that say that if you think things, they will come to be. And that's probably true. If you think things often enough, over and over again, you put those things in your life, then things will tend to happen to bring them to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But they won't always come together if you do the wrong things to take you in a different direction. You need to be on the right path in order to see the right scenes that you're walking past.
Right, right. Well, you know, we, Steve, I want to let you know we have a caller, Jay, who is from Canada, and Jay has a question that he would like to ask. So, Jay, this is Jan, and you are live on Purpose Talk Radio. Hi, how are you today?
Hey, pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. You have a question.
Yes, I do, about spiritual marketing, about creating your own, passion and things like that. Do you have to be really specific with the universe, actually? You know, focus on attracting, you know, for example, attracting clients to a metaphysical business. Do you have to go from being specific and also from the other client's point of view that you're attracting, what's in it for me? What are you offering? Do you have to have both of them to...
Well, Jay, I think I understand your question. And the answer, the cop-out answer is sort of, but the true answer really is the more specific you can be, the better. If you're thinking about things, if you're trying to focus on things in your life and bring things to happen, then the more specific you can be and the more ways that you can do this, the better. And by that I mean if you can think about something, you know, you think about having 10 clients. You've done the exercise, you know, what do I charge for the product, for the service? I'm going to have a course or a big ticket product that I'm going to put out there, and I'm going to have to sell so many of them each month in order to have the income that I want and so on. And you come up with a price for your product. And so you say, well, now I need 10 clients or now I need 50 clients, whatever the number is. Well, then the more specific that you can be about that, the better it is. If you simply say, I need a lot of clients or I need some clients, it doesn't give the subconscious mind much to work with, and you can often be shooting yourself in the foot, as I explained earlier, by not defining the absolute. And let me give you a couple of specific examples. One that happened in my life, so I can share this and tell you absolutely this happened, and one that happened in the life of a friend's son. And they related it to me, and I believe them. And because it's a story that's actually been written about and seems to have credibility, and you can both of them are somewhat astounding. His more than mine, but mine is very practical. At one time, I wanted a stereo system, simple thing, a stereo system, but it was beyond my budget. What I didn't want to buy some cheap, you know, thing that was in a box. I wanted components. I wanted some, you know, a good receiver, a good turntable, some decent pieces. And it was beyond my budget. But I had been at a seminar sometime before in which I had obtained a thing called a future diary. And all it is a notebook that you write down things that you basically write down in positive affirmations. You write down the things that you desire in your life, but you write them down as if they are already part of your life. And you write them in detail. You visualize them and describe them so that you're there. So I had written down a product that I wanted. I'd done a little research. I had got model and, you know, number and brand name. I even clipped out a picture of it from a magazine and put it in there in my future diary. Well, at the time I was working for a company that did burglar alarm installations, and I did burglar alarm installation for this company, and got to know the owner, and we talked a little bit, and I was involved in some other business that I thought he might be interested in, and I gave him my business card and went away, and we just never connected again. 6 months later, I got a call from him. I was in another job, and but I got a call, and he was asking if I would come down and do some private work on his burglar alarm system. He was going out of business and closing down his store, and he had to protect it. The alarm system was broken in a couple areas. He had to protect it, and the insurance company wanted him to add a couple of features to it for the period of time until his product was liquidated and the store was cleared out. Mm-hmm. And so I said, sure, I would do that. I wasn't with the alarm company anyway, but I would still do it. I had tools, and I knew what was going on, and I could get the parts he needed, and I would do that. And I went down there, and when I was down there, he said, look, you know, I really can't afford to pay you. I'm going out of business because I'm broke, and I really can't afford you, and I guess I should have told you this before I brought you down here, but I would like to, you know, trade some of my inventory for the work you're going to do. And he said, you know, knowing what work costs before on these on the alarm system and what you're expected to do here, I figure it's worth about so much. And how about I triple that and come on back here, I'll show you. I've got this stereo system here that, this, by the way, this was an electronics sound and music retailer. And he said, I've got this stereo system here, brand new. You know, it was on the shelf as a demo unit, but otherwise brand new. Here it is, whole thing, speakers, everything. And I'll trade you that for the work you're going to do. Well, it was awfully hard, or would have been awfully hard for me to say no. I actually said yes and accepted it. It was the exact make and model that I had in my future diary. So, you know, and that kind of thing can happen. The more specific you are, the better. The friend of mine that did the same kind of thing, in his case, he wanted a Ferrari. He was in business. He was very successful. He was at the point where he could now start to choose his toys, and he wanted a Ferrari. So he put a picture of the Ferrari he wanted. He cut the cover off of a Road and Track magazine and had this red Ferrari convertible posted on his refrigerator to have it there in front of him every day so he would see what he wanted and visualize it. There's power in visualization. And by the way, anybody who puts a picture of a fat person on the refrigerator because they want to lose weight, don't do that. You're telling your subconscious mind that you want to be fat. Put a picture of somebody that looks the way you want to look, not the way that you don't like looking. But anyway, the Ferrari. So he ordered his Ferrari eventually, and they take a while to be built, and he got a call from the car company, which was in Los Angeles, and he lived in Washington State. I forget the name of the town, but doesn't matter. But he and his dad drove down from there to Los Angeles so that he could drive the Ferrari back, and his dad would have to drive the station wagon or whatever. and they got to the dealership to pick up the car, and there's this beautiful red Ferrari in the showroom waiting for him. And they go in to fill out the papers, and the salesman kind of looked a little uncomfortable, and he finally said, "Listen, I have to confess this. I'm really sorry, but the Ferrari in the showroom isn't exactly new. We've had it here since just before you placed your order, and it actually went out for a road trial to the Road and Track people who drove it on a track to test it and used it as their cover vehicle for the magazine. Well, believe it or not, I mean, it's a pretty fantastic story. I'm quite convinced it's true. And this guy, because he visualized the exact car he wanted, he got it. And there's two morals to that story. One is the power of visualization. The other is be careful what you ask for.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah. So I think the answer to that long way of getting there is that the more detail that you can provide to yourself, the better. And find pictures. Picture it. Visualize it. Visualize it in your mind, and then find pictures that you can look at. If you have to make up a little poster board and a collage, putting pieces together to get the whole picture, do that. Find those pieces. And then write down the description of what you want. Verbalize it in longhand. Write it yourself. Don't type it on your computer. Get a pen, a piece of paper, and write it down. The act of writing it transfers it from one area of your brain to another. Thinking about it is one thing. Writing is another thing. And after you write it, read what you've written, because reading is a third thing altogether. And all of those feed the subconscious.
And Jay, I'd like to interject something as well, is when you're looking at the number of clients that you want, make sure that you are specific about that number. And when you do a picture, a collage picture of the clients that you want, you also might want to think about how many minutes a moment, because whatever picture you put up and start looking at is probably what you're going to end up with. So if you want to have all men as clients and you put up a picture that's all women or mostly women, guess what?
Exactly.
You're going to get mostly women. So you get really down. It's in marketing they talk about it as what niching down. So find out what your niche is. And you're talking about you said coaching, right? No, did you say what you do?
No, I didn't say what I do. I actually conduct workshops, actually.
Okay. So you conduct workshops. So think about what your workshop is, and then think about exactly how many clients you want to have or people you want in that workshop, and then you can go ahead and you can start fleshing it out. But get it down as specific, as close to the lowest common denominator, the lowest thing that you can think of, and then build it from there. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it
no.
does, yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing, Jay, is I've drawn three cards. I do angel readings.
Okay.
I've drawn three cards. Would you like to have a reading today on your question?
Sure.
Okay. And you can either choose one of the three cards or we can go to the deck and you can pick a card out of there.
I'll take the third card.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Please.
All right. The third card is called Evening. And I'm not sure this, the third card. I'm going to give you the first and the third because I don't remember which one is the third. Okay? So we'll go with Evening first. You get two cards in that case. We'll go Evening first. Evening shows a young man and a young woman sitting outdoors. There is a tree behind them that has no leaves on it, and there's a moon in the sky. She has a crown on her head, and she's dressed in quite a colorful gown that has a lot of blue in it and some gold around it. He is dressed more in he's got a tunic on that is brown, and it's got blue around the neck. And he's holding her hand. So he is courting his ideal. They're sitting together, and he is, I don't know any other better way to say it. He is courting her. And she is, with her crown on and with her gown, she is his ideal. So with this card, I would say, court the ideal image that you have in your mind for your business.
Okay.
And the other card is one that we've had before. I really love it. It's called the Jasmine. And the Jasmine is, the card shows some very showy summer flowers that are all past their prime. The leaves are wilted. Some of them, the leaves are off, and you can just see the seed pods. There's a weed on one side that's obviously past its prime as well. It's just kind of stringy and skeletal looking. And behind those coming up is a beautiful jasmine. It's a very simple flower. In this case, the stem comes up. There's two leaves, and there are three blossoms. Each blossom has only four leaves on it. And each petal has a little notch on the end. But this is the simplicity. So, again, this is being very clear about what you want, not getting showy, not getting all fancy and dealing with, you know, roses and all those other things that can die, and they look really kind of bad when they die. Just staying simple and staying clear. The jasmine is very simple. It's white. It's clear. It has a direct message, and it doesn't get thrown off into any other directions. It is very simple, and it doesn't have a lot of other buds to come along its way. It's got one message and one message only. So there's another thought for you. I don't know what kind of workshops you do, but keep your message simple and stay focused on what it is that you're doing, and don't let yourself get distracted and sidetracked.
Okay.
Jay, what is the age group for your workshops?
Well, that's interesting. About 30 to 40, I think.
Okay.
But I really don't know because I don't say, you know, how old you are, but I can say about 30 to, I say about 30 to 60.
Okay. What, so an older audience rather than a younger one. What about the number of people in a workshop?
Oh, six maximum.
Okay, and any prerequisites? Are they male or female? Are they
Mostly women.
A certain education level?
No, I don't know about that.
Okay, it doesn't need to be then. You're not teaching something that requires certain skills.
No.
Okay, have you written that down, what you just told me?
I know I haven't.
Well, see, there's a starting point for you. Those are some specifics that you can easily verbalize. You can easily visualize. You can visualize six women, you know, between 30 and 60, sitting at the tables or whatever the structure is where you hold your workshops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's around a boardroom table, if it's at individual desk-like tables, whatever it is, you can visualize that and then write down what you visualize to put it into detail and then read that back to yourself. And do that for all aspects of what you're doing. But start with that little description that you gave me now.
Okay.
It's not hard to do, but most people never do it. Believe me, most people never do it. And do you know what? Most people fail in their businesses. They're not directly correlated, but there's some connection there, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely.
Does that help?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it actually does. It gives you more, how is it, ammunition or more ideas to do that, clarify things.
Awesome. All right, Jay. Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Well, thank you very much for letting me be a part of the show. And, thanks, Jan, and thanks, Stephen.
Absolutely. And if you get a chance, go to Facebook and join the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group on Facebook, and there'll be more conversations that you can chat with people and get more ideas.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jay. Okay. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So remember to our listeners that you can call in as well if you have a question, 347-205-9074. And if you have a question for Steve or for me, and also if you want to have a reading. I still don't know which card is one and which is three, so anyway, we got both of them. So Steve, let's go ahead and give, if somebody wants to contact you, if they want coaching or they want to connect with you with some of what you do, would you tell us a little bit more about what you do and how people can connect with you?
Well, the best way to reach me is my email address, thewiz@ourhutch.com, thewiz@ourhutch.com. People always ask me, is that the Wiz because you're in Kansas? You know, the guy behind the curtain, Wizard of Oz, and no, it's not. It has nothing to do with that. I was the Wiz before I came to Kansas about 13 years ago. It actually stems back to before I was on the Internet, before there was an Internet, and I was involved in role-playing games, and my character was a wizard, and I was the Wiz. And that wizard actually comes from the Tolkien books, Wizard Mithrandir. People don't know that name too well, but that's the elfin name, Mithrandir. Of Gandalf, the main character in Tolkien books. And of course, those books related to the type of role-playing games that I was involved in, and that later became a name that stuck with me on the bulletin board system and then later into the Internet. It was the name I used on my profile at eBay when I sold regularly on eBay, and it just grew from there. So I'm known online by a lot of people of the as the Wiz. I have a website called wizardsplace.com. So that's the Wiz in the Wiz at our Hutch. Hutch also does have some strings tying it to Kansas here. The town we're in is Hutchinson, Kansas. And everybody here refers to the town as Hutch. And our Hutch is my business vehicle here.
Okay.
So that's kind of connects it. But anyway, so that's the email address to reach me. I gladly give my clients my phone number and other ways to reach me as well. I do a variety of things. I mean, I'm in a transition. For the past 20-odd years, I've been building websites. I started with websites about 6 months after the World Wide Web was first rolled out, and I've been building them ever since. I've long since lost count of the numbers, hundreds of websites, thousands of web pages, and so I do that. About 3 years ago, I got I switched from custom building websites. I've hand coded everything from single page personal sites right up to multi page membership sites and reseller sites. And now I work almost exclusively with WordPress. It's a powerful, dynamic, really wonderful system. It's the most popular, what's referred to as a content management system, on the internet today. And I frankly can't understand why anybody, unless they're doing something very, very unusual or specific, wouldn't use WordPress as the base for their website. There's just no reason not to. It'll do or can be made to do anything that a custom website can do, and usually it does it better. So that's my focus as far as websites. I will work on other sites, but I tend to turn jobs down if they're not WordPress. And I'm moving more from the doing, from the the creating of the websites, to working with people on a broader spectrum of what I call online presence, coaching in their business, in the general sense of the business, whether it were online or offline, and on all the aspects necessary for building and promoting their business online. From the basics, the domain name, the hosting, and the website, right up through the search engine optimization, social media marketing, and just the concepts of creating and visualizing and focusing in order to put their business on a path of success. I see success not as a place, not as a destination, but as a journey. And so I often refer to the path of success rather than to success as an entity. My experience in my life has been that I've found levels of success. I have found success at many points along the way, but it's always been a journey, a progressive journey, adding to itself. And, at my age now, I'm doing a lot of new things, doing a lot more teaching, mentoring. And I really feel that the future is open to me for a number of things, all part of that journey. So, it doesn't change. You don't set a goal out there and say, that's what I want, and I want it tomorrow, next day, next year, whenever, and that's where I'm going to be. Yes, you cast your goals in concrete, but you build your plans in sand. They're variable. You may have to wipe them out and start over, but you keep that goal out there. And then when you approach a goal, you start to push out further, and you set new goals. So if that goal was success, what is your new goal? It's success too. It's just a level or a position of success, and you keep on moving forward. So I'm doing a lot of that, working with individual clients, helping them bring those pieces together, the tools that they need for their business, and that can be anything from accounting to corporation structures to business plans, and tying that to the online presence tools, the websites and the social media sites and the processes that go with it, and then putting the whole thing together into a program and a process that they can follow and develop. And what I'm finding that's really quite interesting, there is no magic solution. There is no secret bullet. There is no package. That's been my frustration in putting my own offerings online. It's very difficult to offer a package, a low-price package or a high-price package, that suits a mass market. You can teach concepts and you can teach structures in a package, but as soon as you want to bring that into focus for an individual, you have to deal with that individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes the picture. It changes the complexion.
Right.
I like to look at it as a situation. Imagine yourself, anybody listening here, imagine yourself, and you're in business, and you've met a client on the internet, and they're not too far from you. They're in another city, an hour's drive, and you've made arrangements to go and meet them at their home or their office, and you drive to that city, and as you get into the city limits, you discover, oh my, you forgot the instructions on how to get to where they live. And so you pick up your cell phone. We're in modern times now, and we have cell phones. So you pick up your cell phone, and you call, and you say, hi, Jill, I left those instructions on my kitchen table. I've just come into town. Can you tell me how to get to where you are? And Jill is going to have to ask you a question. It's a
where are you now?
Important question. Where mm-hmm. are you now? Exactly. It is the most critical question to getting you from where you are to where she is. And many coaches start out with the people they sign up. They've got a package they want to sell. They've put the package together, and it's out there, and they're charging a price for it, and they forget to ask their client where they are now. Because you can't get there from here if you don't know where you are. Instructions are meaningless if they bring you to the place from the other end of town. So it applies to coaching, mentoring, any kind of online business structure, business planning, any of those things. I put business plans together for people that are just starting out, and I put business plans together for people who have been in business for years. There's a whole lot of difference as to where they are now, and there's always a difference as to where they want to go. And unless you know those two things, you cannot offer a plan for success. To bring that back to the topic at hand here, you then want to offer that plan in a way that involves honesty and integrity and being in touch with yourself, understanding your needs and thinking and emotions and spirituality, and then tying that to understanding your client's needs and purposes and spirituality. And if, as we talk today about open two-way communication, not just broadcast messages, but actually having an open dialogue, then we have to listen to those people that will be sharing their issues and their problems with us. And in doing that, we build trust. And if we work ethically, we build trust marketing. We build spiritual marketing. We tie it all together into a much more comfortable package. Now, the difference there, I think, is that when you're involved in spiritual marketing, not everybody is going to be the right customer for you. So you're not necessarily broadcasting a product or a service to anybody who wants to buy it. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with doing that, and a person involved in spiritual marketing can do that with various levels of their products or services. But you truly want to develop individual products and services that may be based on a formula, they may be based on a plan or a model, but then they are fine-tuned as you discover. I mean, it's a journey together. You're a guide walking with the person on their journey of success. You're sharing with them. You're understanding their needs and their goals, and you're providing the mechanisms and the guidance to allow them to fulfill and satisfy those.
Awesome. So, Steve, again, the best way to contact you is by email, thewiz@ourhutch.com, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you have a particular website that you send people to, or is email just the best way?
Well, email's a good way. I have a couple of websites. The website that I'm developing right now that is going to deal mostly with the concept of spiritual marketing is From Website to Wealth, fromwebsitetowealth.com. And that's up and available, but it is minimal at the present time. It's being developed. You know the old story about the shoemaker whose kids have holes in their shoes.
Right.
My own projects always take second place to my clients, and my clients come in a couple of flavors: those who have immediate emergencies, and those who need stuff yesterday, and then my stuff fits in somewhere else. So that site is up. It's there. You can go to it, and you will find a few things, but you won't find much until perhaps over the next 30 days or so. My personal site is StephenBHenry.com, without the titles, just StephenBHenry.com. And that's about me and who I am and what I do, and you can make judgments from that if you wish. I'm quite happy with it. That is a fairly developed site, and it actually used to incorporate those things that are going into the From Website to Wealth site, but I recently separated the two because there really was two separate vehicles there, two separate masses of information, me, the person, and me, the teacher. And so they really needed to be separated out. But StephenBHenry.com will certainly introduce me to anybody who wonders who this crazy guy is. And then I have other websites for different aspects of my business, but I won't share those here at this point.
Well, and let's remind everybody that Stephen is spelled P-H, S-T-E-H-E-N, StephenBHenry.com.
Yes,
okay.
Many people misspell that, but that's the right way for me.
Right. All right. Well, Stephen, thank you very much for being on the show today. This has been informative and helpful. I've learned several things, and I've come back to recognizing that my subconscious is very, very powerful, and I can't just blame things on the universe.
Right. Yeah, the universe unfolds pretty much as it should. There's not a whole lot of things that you can do about that. But you can do a lot about what you do in the universe.
Right.
Anyway, Jen,
right.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed this immensely, and I'm going to be following other shows here. I think you've got a wonderful vehicle. And
great.
I'll drop in on the group as well.
All right. Thanks a lot. And we'll look forward to seeing you in the group. Now, I want to remind everybody that you can contact me by emailing jan@purposetalkradio.com. And obviously, I'm also in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group on Facebook. I want to remind you about our theme song, True Trinity. The song is I Am Who I Am by True Trinity, and you can find them at truetrinity.com, where they have several songs that they have. Jay got two cards today because I couldn't remember which one was first and which one was third, and that's perfectly all right. Okay, so I think that's it for today, and I want to remind you that on June 4th, I'll be talking more about it next week, but on June 4th, we have the teleconference for a medical advocate. You can find out a little more information about that on medicaladvocate.com. An A before the medicaladvocate.com. And there's also a page on Facebook that's called A Medical Advocate. And I believe that the event is listed there. If it isn't, I'll be doing that this week. And that's June 4th at 11:30 Pacific time on how to become a medical advocate. I think that is all for now. Oh no, there was one more thing I wanted to tell you about. Starting in June, I'm not sure which date, probably mid-June, but starting in June, we're going to be running a series that is spiritual, feminine spiritual trailblazers. There are 26 women. I've done interviews with all 26 of them. There's going to be an audiobook come out on these, and we're going to start interviewing them starting in June. There'll be two on each program, and again, I will post those when I get the exact date set up. I'm very excited about this. I hope you'll join us to see that. Our next guest next week is Donna Bear Stein, and we'll be talking with her. Oh, gosh. She is a writer, and she has she's just publishing a book. They've got magazines, so you'll find out more about her next week. Be sure to join us, especially if you're a writer or you know somebody else who's a writer. And for this week, I wish you soul blessings and look forward to being with you next week.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.